This is John Walden. In our studies in the Psalms, we have come to the end of Book 1. You may not have noticed that the Psalms are divided into 5 books, just as the books of Moses are. The first 5 books in our Bible we call the Pentateuch. Well, the Psalms are written in the form of a Pentateuch also. And while they may not be divided this way in your Bible, you will notice that each book ends with a blessing and an amen. The end of chapter 41, Psalm 41, reads, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen." So, Psalm 42 begins the second book of Psalms. This corresponds to Exodus, and since Exodus is the book of redemption, that's exactly what we find in this section. God is known by his name Elohim in the first 41 Psalms almost exclusively. There's some reference to Jehovah, but mostly to Elohim, the Creator God. While in the second section, there's a great deal said about God as Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the Redeemer. And, of course, this is the same God. We're not talking about two different gods, but we're talking about God known in a more intimate way as our Redeemer. Israel was brought into covenant relationship with God. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you're brought to know the Lord in a new way. You may have thought of him as the Almighty and as your Creator before, but now you can claim him as your own Savior. This 42nd Psalm is a Maskil Psalm, and this word means giving instruction. Several Psalms are called Maskil Psalms, and we can learn a great deal from them. That's why they were written. This was more than just a hymn book. The Psalms were written in order to give teaching. This is also said to be a psalm for the sons of Korah. The first of 8 of these in this second book, in this section. There are 8 of them from Psalms 42 to 49. And these psalms are especially psalms of deliverance and redemption. Now why Korah? Well, Korah was one of 3 men who led a rebellion against God. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And these 3 men were killed for their rebellion. But God said that if any of their families would take sides against their ungodly fathers, they would be spared. And the sons of Korah did so, and they were spared. This is a good picture to us of our own condition, for our father, Adam, was a rebel against God. And God in his mercy has spared us because we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Now the sons of Korah were chosen to be the choir in the temple. They were the special singers. And this is wonderful too, that God should take people who were once under sentence of death and bring them to the place where they would be his songsters, praising him in the songs in the temple. And of course this is true for us too. We were under judgment of death. We should have died in our sins and had no song forever. But instead of that, the Lord has put a new song in our hearts and on our lips, and we too can sing his praises. Now this psalm begins, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now, no one who has not known the Lord would ever have such longings after the Lord. You remember that our Savior on the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We call this Emmanuel's orphan cry. The Lord Jesus felt very keenly that he was forsaken of God. And don't say that he wasn't, that he just imagined it. Remember, he's the Son of God. Of course he was forsaken. How else could God punish him in our place? How else could he become sin for us, really treated as the criminal, taking our place so completely that he must be forsaken in the sufferings of his death. We should never fail to thank him for this. Now the 42nd and 43rd Psalms really belong together. We're going to consider them this way today. These Psalms have a great deal to say about our desire to know God and to be in his presence, but they also tell why we're reaching toward him, because these are Psalms that express the sorrows and the troubles and the discouragements of people who are cast down, people who are because of their circumstances are disquieted. If you ever know what it is to need God's presence, you're not going to be satisfied with religion. You're not going to be satisfied with externals. In verse 4, he speaks about going with the multitude to the house of God, and they were all singing and praising God, and there was a multitude that was keeping a holiday, a holy day, but that didn't satisfy him. It'll never satisfy you to have religion. You need Christ. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, it'll never satisfy you just to go through the external form of things. You need to know a real fellowship with God himself. Let's not be satisfied with superficial externals. Let's be sure that we know God in the truest sense of the word. Now, 10 times in Psalms 42 and 43, you have the word why. 2 of them in verse 5, the 42nd Psalm, 2 more in verse 9, and 2 more in verse 11. Then in Psalm 43, there are 2 in verse 2 and 2 in verse 5. 5 sets of 2. 10 times. Why? Haven't you asked why sometimes? If you're not a believer and you're having difficulties, you don't need to ask why. Why wouldn't you have difficulties? When you've turned your back on the Savior, when you've rejected God's Son, how would you expect to have anything but difficulties and problems? But if you have received Christ, you're wondering, now that I have accepted the Lord Jesus, now that I am God's child, why should I have these difficulties? Well, there are several whys in Scripture, several reasons in Scripture why we should have problems and difficulties. I found at least 7 in the New Testament. One of these, of course, is that God is dealing with us about something which isn't right in our life. But this is only one of many reasons. Sometimes these happen simply because there's no other way to learn the real lessons, the deep lessons of God. Sometimes they come because this is God's way of weaning us away from this world, making us more and more attached to himself. 3 times he asks, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He knew the Lord. He called God his own God. He called him the living God. In verse 2, he knew that he should be enjoying the presence and the fellowship of God, and so he asks himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" That's in 42 and 5 and 11, and also in 43 and 5. 3 times, "Why art thou cast down?" Well, there are many reasons for being cast down. Life is full of all kinds of problems and difficulties. Things happen to us that we can't understand. There's only one thing to do, and he tells us that in verse 6 of the 42nd Psalm. "O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee." If you're occupied with the circumstances, it'll just get worse and worse. But if you turn your eyes to him, if you think of him, if you remember him from the land of Jordan, and Jordan, of course, speaks of death. Remember him from the land of the Hermonites, that was the high mountain at the head of the land, at the north of the land of Palestine. Remember him from the hill Mizar, which means the little hill. To me, this little hill is Calvary, because in the next verse he says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Me? Who? David? No. The sons of Korah? No. You, my friend? No. only the Lord Jesus could say, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Your sorrow and your suffering is, excuse me for saying this, but it really is nothing compared to His. He endured all of that for you. Now He asks you to patiently go through a little difficulty here for Him. Well, you say, if I could be sure I was doing it for Him, I could accept it. Well, you can do it for Him. You can trust Him. You can say, when my soul is cast down, I'll just think of Him. He who bore all my sins in His own body on the tree certainly loves me too much to let me go now. So there is hope in remembering Him. There are many enemies. They're mentioned here in verse 9 and on down to the first verse of Psalm 43. Many enemies. Christians have three in particular, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we can trust the Lord to deliver us from all these. And He says in verse 3 of the 43rd Psalm, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." Well, we have His light and His truth. God is light. The Word of God is truth. But the Lord Jesus is called the light, and He too is called the truth, and we'll find all we need in Him. And when we find all that we need in the Lord Jesus, then we find joy. In verse 4 of the 43rd Psalm, "I will go to the altar of God, and to God my exceeding joy." My God. Twice in the last two verses, my God. Yes, when you know the Lord is your own, you have joy, not because the circumstances are changed, but because you've been able to look above them and see that He's still on the throne and that He still loves you. Let's thank Him. Once again, our blessed Lord, we thank Thee for enduring Calvary for our sakes, and we thank Thee that Thou art alive now to be our friend and helper, and we pray that Thou wilt help those who are not saved to put their trust in Thee and help Thy dear children to look to Thee for the comfort that they need in difficulties. We pray in Thy precious name. Amen.